join our hearts together in prayer.
Let's pray.
Lord God, you know, as we come to you now, we do so with hearts of thanksgiving and praise. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be in this place worshipping you, lifting our voices to you, the one true God. For there is no God like you. There is no one who can do what you do. And there's no one, God, who can raise the morning, call in the night. No one who can make
something from nothing. No one who can give the blind their sight. No one who can make the colors of this world spell out your name. No one who can see the worth in all of us and what you do. Only you, Lord. Only you are worthy. Only you are good enough. Only you deserve the praise and thanksgiving that we bring to you this day. And our lives, God, are so full of blessing. Blessing that flows from you. And Lord God, if we were to consider that now and list the blessings that do come from you, it would take us all day, and that would only cover those that we've received this morning up to now. It's so often our hearts are darkened to your goodness. So often, God, we see only trial and tribulation. Too often, God, we focus on the negative aspects of life and we fail to see the wonder and the beauty, the magnificence of the blessings that you bestow upon us. Oh Lord, help us today to see you clearly. Create in all of us, Lord, eyes to see you and ears to hear what you're saying to us. And Lord God, we're thankful as well this day that all of us are here in the same boat. All of us, God, sinners lost without you in our lives. Lord, too often our world doesn't want to hear the word sin. Too often we find it offensive to our ears or feel that it's an insult, God, to our character. Yet, Lord, we are sinners. We have walked away from you. Mankind has made error of judgment after error of judgment. Mankind considers itself more than it should. We consider, God, our abilities often to be on a par with you. And, Lord God, that you, the maker of everything, should answer to us. Father God, it's when we think about that and how ridiculous that is, that we realize just how far our hearts have fallen away from you. And God, how you should have left us there dead in our sins. But you could not allow that. Instead, you took a step. You came into this world. You taught us. You showed us what to do. You gave us, Lord God, your word. You went to the cross and you died for our sins. So that no matter who we are, God, no matter what we've done, Lord, that you are able to forgive us. And we are able to know that forgiveness today completely. Lord God, all of us are here today as a work of your grace and mercy. All of us here as a work of your forgiveness. All of us, Lord God, here because of your great love. We ask you, God, to help us to accept that today. To come to you, be honest, that we're all lost without you, that we need your love and forgiveness. Lord God, when we need examples or we look for examples of holy living, we often look to one another for guidance and example, but that's not good enough. Instead, we have to look to you. We must look to you, Jesus. We must try to become more like you in our behavior and our actions. Try to represent you here on earth to those outside these walls in a way, in a manner that reflects you and only you. And we need the transformational power of your Spirit to do this. So God, fill us. Fill us with your Spirit. Lead us and guide us. Make us more like you. Sanctify us as we try to serve you as disciples. And lead us to further your fame in our world. Lead us to love like you. Lead us to show compassion like you. Lead us today in our worship. Into your hands, God, we place our times and our days in your name. Amen. I have another note up here this week. So I do about birthdays. Same family. Duncan again. And I believe it was Alex's birthday on Friday. On Thursday? Was Thursday the 3rd of March? No? 2nd of March. All right, okay. It says here 3rd of March. There you go. And it says, Alec, you're not a day over 70. Isn't that lovely? Oh. Yeah. Wow. Way to bring the mood down, Alec. Good grief. Old banter burglar back there. Anybody else? Anybody else birthdays this week, last week, coming up? David Skimmon. He was all right. 27, Andrea as well. Okay, we've got, that's three, right? We've got people to pray for. Let's do that. Let's pray for our family. God, we give you thanks for David, for Alec, and for Andrea. And we thank you, Lord God, that their birthday, over this time of their birthdays, they're able to look to you and look to the blessings, God, that you just pour out upon them in their lives. We pray, Father God, that in this next year, God, that they may know you even more closely. Lord, follow you even more closely in their lives. And Father God, that indeed the blessings that come from you, that are rained down upon them, may indeed spill out and spill over, Father, to those around them. So God, be with them and bless them. Give them strength, Lord. And may they know your love this day. In your name, amen. Now, wow. I'm still reeling from what Alex said there. That's, I kind of think I shouldn't be surprised anymore, though. I love a good cup of coffee. Hands up who likes a good cup of coffee. Oh, lots of people. Even Emma's got her hand up. And all. Yeah, yeah. Love a good cup of coffee. Let's see where some of these, your favourite coffee shops are. Let's shout them out. Anything?
Del Piero's.
Do you have an investment in that? You know, is there... No, you don't work there anymore. No. I'm not sure. Okay, Del Piero's. Their coffee's okay.
Starbucks.
Was that you shouted that, Isla? I was like, you threw your voice. I thought that was Rosemary shouted that out there. Isla, you don't like coffee at Starbucks, do you? You do? Yeah? Lovely. What's your go-to? What's your order?
Hot chocolate.
All I'm going to say is it's in the name, you know. It's, you know, not necessarily coffee. Okay, what about you? You're always up for telling me where you like to do things and stuff. What are you up for? What do you like? Starbucks. What's your order? Oh, it depends on the mood. Okay. All right. Well, if you're having a coffee, what would you have? A frappuccino? Yes. Frappuccino? Yeah. Okay.
She doesn't go.
I think you know why.
Yeah. My goodness. That is it. You know, it's crazy as if you're driving up to Castle Bawn. You see, Tim Hortons has opened up there, and Tim Hortons does some pretty good coffee and some pretty awesome donuts. So, I don't have shares in it. No, I'm not even allowed them anymore. But across the road from that, Starbucks is going to be opening there as well. And we go up into town. If I'm meeting somebody, where do we go? Where do we meet? Nero's, there we go. We meet in Nero's because that's actually my office. And we have coffee. And the coffee that we drink, it's not just the stuff that you get in the jars, you know, the freeze-dried stuff and all of that there. Although, I have to say to you, see, after a service on a Sunday morning, a couple of that is brilliant. And I'm very thankful for Carol. It's her special ministry. But I got thinking about it the other day. What would it be like if we tried to grow coffee here in Newton Arts? You know, we're famous around this area for spuds, you know, for potatoes. We don't really have any sort of exciting things like coffee. We don't grow things like coffee, do we? What's it? We're famous for Teresa's sodas as well. Potatoes and sodas, there you go. That's Northern Ireland for you. And I wondered why, though. Why are we not seeing a fine Cumber Road blend? Why are we not seeing a refined West Winds coffee? Why is that not happening? Anybody any ideas why? Shout that out again.
We don't have the right climate.
We don't have the right climate. The right conditions for growing coffee do not exist here in Northern Ireland. They don't exist in our little bit of the world here. We have a cracker climate for growing potatoes. That's what we are good at. We're good at growing spuds. So then let's have a bit of a think about this. Does anybody know where the most coffee is grown in the world? Anybody want to get?
Brazil.
Brazil is correct. And South America, absolutely, because after that, I think it's Vietnam after that, and then it's Colombia. I mean, these places, Brazil produces most of the coffee that we drink around the world. It's a massive, massive export. It's something that they are really good at growing because the conditions for them growing coffee beans are absolutely right. They're close to the equator. They have a climate which is warm all year round in these areas, and they're able to grow the coffee that we often end up drinking in Starbucks or Nero's or Horton's or all of those places that we end up drinking our coffee. And I got thinking about the right conditions then for growth, the right conditions that we need to grow as followers of Christ. You know, there's many times whenever we hear that word, we hear that we need to grow in our faith. We've heard that phrase, haven't we? We've said that. I say that all the time, that we need to grow as disciples, that we need to be able to grow in what we do and what we believe and how we behave and how we understand the wonderful gift of life that Christ has given to us. And we need the right conditions. We need the right conditions to be able to grow. When I was in Sunday school years and years and years ago, we sang a wee song. If I started, I bet you some other people join in, right? Read your Bible. There we go. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day if you want to grow. What an easy song to remember. I remember that from being maybe 5 or 6 years old, singing that song in church. I could be honest with you, I probably didn't really understand completely what that song was saying. But what it was saying was this: reading your Bible, reading the scriptures, reading God's word is a really, really important element of our faith. Praying, coming to God and spending time speaking to Him is a really important part of our faith. It's something that we need to do so that we can grow. And we also need to be in the right places so that we can grow. In this place, church is a right place for us to be so that we can grow. For here you're able to be around other people who are growing too. And as they grow, they help you. As they learn more about Jesus, as they come to more of a deeper faith in Christ, they grow in their lives as well. So if you're having your cup of coffee this week, or your frappuccinos, or your hot chocolate, you know, we don't grow chocolate here either, actually. So that's fair enough. That would have worked too. Think about how it took for that to grow, the right conditions for those coffee beans to grow, and think about yourself. Think about the right conditions that you need so that you can grow in your faith following Jesus. Let's join in prayer. Gracious God, We give you thanks that you have not hidden from us what we need to do so that we can grow in our faith in following you. God, as we worship you then, as we read your Bible, as we pray, as we spend time around others, Lord God, who are growing too, I pray, Father, that you grow each of our hearts. Help us, Lord God, to know you and your blessing. For we ask these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. We're going to sing again. It's an easy one, thankfully, because our words aren't working. Peace like a river. Okay. Now, this one's very simple. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. And I'll shout out where, and you'll all shout. There you go. We know this one. And I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got love like in the ocean. I've got love because you're surfing. Love like the ocean. Love like the ocean in my soul. And then we'll mix them all up as well. Go on, see. Let's stand together and worship God. Before him now with our prayers for others. So let's take some time to still ourselves before God and come before him in prayer. Lord God, we are thankful that we have this time here today. Time, Lord God, to come before you. Time, God, to bring our prayers for others before you. And Lord God, this has been a week where we have seen more tragedy in our news. Father God, we think of the events that happened in Greece, the terrible train crash. God, this was an awful incident, an awful thing to see. And Lord, it's hard for us to even grasp the magnitude of loss and the impact that there is on so many. Father God, we pray for those who are dealing today with injuries, many of them severe. Father God, as people sit and lie in hospital beds, as people deal with the trauma that they saw, as people come to terms, Lord God, with life-changing injuries, Father, we pray that you are with them. Bless them as they heal. Bless them, Lord God, as they learn to deal with what they experienced. Father God, as the authorities look into how this happened. We pray, Father, that those who are able to make changes so that things like this do not happen in the future, Lord God, they put those into action. Lord, that blame and finger pointing do not become the sole exercises, but instead, Father God, healing and better infrastructure, Lord, becomes the results. Father God, we pray for those who have been bereaved. Lord, we know what bereavement is like, even in our own families. All of us, Father God, in some way have been touched by this. And we pray, Father, we pray that as those who are mourning and grieving go on about that at the moment, Lord, that they know your hand of peace with them, helping them and blessing them. Lord, we pray for the events that have happened in our own land this week. We thank you for the Windsor Agreement. And we thank you, Lord God, that some prayers indeed have been answered, Lord. But Lord, as we look forward now, help us, Father God, to have a peace around us. Help us to be a people, Lord God, who continue to pray for our country. Lord, we desire to see our institutions working again. We desire to see our MLAs, Lord, in Stormont. We desire to see, Lord God, the devolved government working for the good of the people. Father God, help us to be a praying people for our MLAs, for those, Lord God, in public office. We pray, Lord, for a continued movement forwards in our land towards reconciliation. We give thanks, Lord, for the last 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement, that so much has changed, that so much good has been done. But God, we know that there is more that needs to be done. We pray, God, that you raise up a strong people for this work. Lord God, we pray especially this morning for loyalist communities, for strong, fair-minded voices, God, to come up from within. Lord God, for them to look in an aspirational way, Lord, around them, and know that there is more that they can do. Lord God, more that they can do for their neighbours, for their loved ones, for their children. Lord, that falling into the traps of the past are not things that will lead to a better future. God bless them today. And Lord, we give you thanks for the men's and the women's groups here in our church. We give you thanks, Lord God, that there are so many who come together and gather, Lord, for friendship, fellowship. Lord God, that there are many great stories and friendships built, Lord, in those times together. And we pray for our PW service next Sunday morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you have raised up a great committee. And we give you thanks, Lord, that they have organized this service. And we pray that you bless them as they finish up, Lord, the finishing touches. God be with Francine, Lord, as she prepares to speak. And Lord, be especially with us all as we enjoy worship together. And Lord, lunch after. These aspects, these events, these things, Father God, are so important to our own growth and fellowship together. So God, be with us and bless us. We thank you, God, for the successful outing yesterday with the men, the Windsor Park and Schomburg House. We give you thanks, Lord God, for the large group of men who joined together, who had great fun together, Lord, who laughed, who made deeper friendships one with the other. God, may that indeed be something that we desire to grow and see grow in union through your leading and your guidance, the Holy Spirit. God, we also pray this morning for our sick and for our unwell. Again, Lord, there are many who are on our hearts and on our minds. And in a time of silence, we pray them before you. us as a people. Orientate our hearts more and more towards you. So we ask this in your holy and precious name. Amen. I'm going to read from the Word of God. And I'm going to read from 2 Peter. Looking at some more verses from chapter 1 as we read from verse 8 down to verse 11. So these are following on after Peter explaining the qualities of discipleship that he wants to see people demonstrate and growing in their lives. And he continues our teaching on here this morning. So it's 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning at verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to stand together again as we worship, and we're going to sing hymn number 988, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. As we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God, let's stand and sing together. Hymn 988, How Deep the Father's Love. God, as we come to your word, we know that we need you speaking to us and helping us to understand and indeed to grow in our faith. The Holy Spirit, do that now. Do your work. Speak to us, move in us, change us, transform us in your name. Amen. When you're a pastor or a leader, there are phrases that you do hear from people who you minister to very often, and phrases that are kind of recurring. And one of them is when you ask someone, how are you in your faith? How do you feel you're going? And they say, I just don't feel like I'm growing very much. I feel like I'm stagnating. I feel like I'm not going anywhere. I feel like things haven't changed. And there's many reasons for it. Not one reason, many reasons. For some, there's life events that are just prevailing in their thinking. There's people around them who they love who are going through difficult times. They just simply don't have the time. Sometimes circumstances change where they're not able to spend as much time in the Word or in prayer or here amongst us, gathered together. Some are ill, and that illness is keeping them back and holding them back. Some are just going cold, and they're looking for something to ignite them, excite them in their faith. And it's hard for people. It's hard, and I acknowledge that it's hard, because we all go through these times. Even the one asking the question goes through these times as well. Well, as hard as it is for them, that is actually still a conversation which can have and yield pleasing results. If you ask someone how they're going in their faith and they say, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere, you've got something to work with. You've got something and somewhere where you can encourage growth. And you encourage them to come alongside and do something about that. So in many ways, actually, although it's a conversation that people might be dreading having with the minister, it's a good one. It's a good conversation. The more worrying thing as a pastor is when the people are content to stay still in their walk with Christ. When they are not prepared or not interested in seeking a deeper walk or a deeper relationship with Jesus. When they have a relationship that has stopped growing, where there are little or no signs of growth in discipleship. Now, that's not just a problem in individual churches, that's a problem all around the church. And in many ways it's a problem that encourages a great industry. I mean, our Christian bookshops are filled with books for people who are in just that sort of condition. Just in that sort of way. I often wonder, however, how Christian authors ever believe that someone's going to go into a Christian bookshop if they don't think that they need or they don't want to grow in their faith to read these books that may help them. And there's often a faith that is a surface level faith that presses all the correct public buttons, but one, whenever you scratch the surface, it's sadly and terminally at times lacking in depth or anything that leads to real growth in Christ. And this is the type of faith that Peter refers to as unproductive. Unproductive. It's faith that is missing essential elements and qualities that will allow it to grow. It's like trying to grow coffee in your eyes. The right elements are not there for it to happen. It's a nice idea, but it's not going to work. Worse, it's a faith or a type of faith that's potentially an indication that there may be something more serious at work in your heart. And one that might have a bearing on your internal destination. As we have been looking at these writings here in 2 Peter, and going through the qualities of discipleship that Peter sees as being essential for disciples of Christ to show in their lives so as to be effective in their walk about Christ. We have seen that he has encouraged people to grow in goodness, godliness, self-control, perseverance, mutual affection, and love. And he says having them all in increasing measure is what we should be striving for. But what are the right conditions for growth? We read this morning from those verses, chapter 1. Peter says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Peter draws here for us a clear connection between having these qualities and the quality of our life following Christ. If you have them in increasing measure, you will be more productive. And that's a simple equation, isn't it? More good stuff, more fertilizer if you like, more growth. I think any of us that have followed Jesus in our lives can attest to the very real times of struggle in our lives of Christ. Times when we felt like we had stagnated or gone backwards. These are the times that Peter warns against and encourages us to come out of. Peter says we must have these qualities in increasing measure. That we should be interested in striving to increase these, to do whatever it takes, to do the right stuff, to be planted in the right places with the right qualities and the right fertilization. We remember the wee song we sang earlier. Read your Bible. Yeah, I knew that people would know that. You know, but it's always a not older than me. I think you do. What a classic song, though. How simple. How wonderful. How beautiful. How amazing getting that message across to children. Not just that they should read their Bible and that they should pray, but planting that seed in children's hearts that says, this is a faith that grows. This is not a faith, a one and done. This is not a hand in the air at a gospel rally that says, who wants to become a Christian? That one, there's one tonight. There's another one. You know, it's not walking to the front of one of those rallies. It's more than that. It's a faith that grows. And from children, we have had that revealed to us. And the work of growth in our lives is a work of the Holy Spirit. You know, as a Reformed Presbyterians, we don't believe that you can know Christ at all apart from the Holy Spirit. That it is completely a work of the Holy Spirit in your life that has led you to faith in Christ. Peter knew that. Peter was a product of the Spirit of work in the world. He knew from first-hand experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what happened to him? Remember that he spilled out onto the streets. People thought that he was drunk. That he preached that first sermon in Acts chapter 2 in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened that day? Thousands came to faith in Christ. Peter knew the power the Holy Spirit. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit transforming his life. How he had gone just weeks before from denying the person who he worshipped, who he literally worshipped, the man that he followed around, the one that he declared, you are God. Peter knew the changing power of the Holy Spirit in his life, because here he was, weeks later, a fisherman from Galilee, preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life as he stood before the Sanhedrin. He knew the power of the Holy Spirit in his life so much more so that he said, I can't stop talking about Jesus. I just can't stop telling people about him. He knew the transformational power of the Holy Spirit. He said this in 1 Peter 1 verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of the things that they have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Peter knew the changing power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot and we should never devalue the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Neither should we simply believe that if we wait and make the effort that the Holy Spirit will do all the work for us. They'll do the work of growth. We can just sit back. There's nothing we can do without God's input. But in our lives, we have an obligation. Having been changed by the Spirit, having been spoken to, having been prompted, having been wooed by the Spirit towards Christ, we have to put the work into it. Apostle Paul knew that. Romans chapter 8, verses 12, 13. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it's not to the flesh to live according to it. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You know, I do see a lot of emphasis placed on the Holy Spirit, and rightly so. And you can see it around you, and you can see it in other places. But I worry sometimes that it can be like it can descend into a sort of genie in the bottle type thing. You know, some of us have taken a text that we just read from Paul and claimed that all we need to do is let the Holy Spirit go to work in our lives and deal with the misdeeds, and we can sit back and enjoy it. We'll be sorted. The Holy Spirit can do it all. We'll sit back and relax, enjoy the eternal blessings. But that's not our obligation. Our obligation is that through the power of the Spirit, we seek to grow. We seek to do that work as well. That we don't just sit back, say, once saved, always saved. We'll come back to that. And we don't just expect the Holy Spirit to do it. I mean, think about it like this. We can fall into a trap of thinking that it all happens between 10:30 and around about 11:45 and something like that. We can fall into the trap of thinking, well, as long as I'm in church, as long as I'm seen, as long as I pay in, as long as I'm there, we can do God here actually, because that's what we're supposed to do, isn't it? Yeah. So we can come into church and we can expect the minister or the pastor, whoever is up the front, to come and open the box with the Holy Spirit out and go and throw it out. We'll have that, but when we say our benediction, that's us. Sort of through. It's a completely unsatisfactory way to live our faith. That's not fulfilling any sort of obligation that we have to grow. It's like a half of an agreement, isn't it? God, come and do everything for me. Okay, thanks. You know, there's more. We have to put the work in. We have to make an effort if we want to grow, if we want to be transformed. So how does that apply to you now today? Well, this is one of those sermons I do believe that it's an asking yourself one. Do a spiritual audit of yourself. I'm not going to do it for you. Because whenever I talk about you or whenever I think about all of these, you're all amazing. Oh, great. You know, really good at this stuff, but you know your heart. You know what's going on. How does this apply? Make this application.
Are you growing in your faith and your fruitfulness? Have you stagnated? Do you feel you're going nowhere? Maybe you feel you're going a bit backwards. Perform an audit on yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit for light, to light up your life, to light up your heart, to show you the places where things aren't right. And do something about it. As Peter says, that is significant for us. It's something that actually confirms our calling and our election. Verses 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's a couple of words jump out from those verses, aren't there? Calling and election. And I think these words go really, really well together. I'm a Presbyterian minister, I don't believe we should fear them. The reality of the scriptures is we cannot know God without God calling us. It won't happen. You won't suddenly wake up one morning and find that you understand the cross of Christ and the work of salvation that Christ has done for us and that you need that in your life. That won't magically happen just like that. It will be the Holy Spirit calling you, working in your life, coming to you and speaking to you. You know, I enjoy hearing people's stories of coming to faith. Some of the stories that I've heard from people sitting in this church this morning are amazing. Absolutely wonderful. And how there was good people, godly people put into their lives at certain times that they just couldn't really quite describe how that ended up happening. How friendships or how people had influenced them in some way and in some manner. And it's like, oh, what a coincidence. It was just incredible that that happened like that. Really? For I believe that the Holy Spirit called you, each and every one of you. And if you are here this morning, you're like, I can't really work out why I'm here. I don't really know why I'm sitting here this morning. I'll tell you right now why you're here. It's the Holy Spirit brought you here. Not one of you is here by accident. Not one of you is here just because. You're here because the Holy Spirit brought you here. Now, how does that make you feel? That makes me feel good. That makes me feel happy. That makes me feel glad. That makes me feel excited. That makes me want to praise God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I want more of you. And that's where we have to do our work. We read consistently in the New Testament that we are chosen people by God. That he knows who will receive his grace and mercy, and that is something that he has predestined. For many, that's a difficult teaching. Because the mathematics of that suggests that if you've been called and elected, that there's others who may have not. And that doesn't seem the sort of thing that a loving God would do. And yet the apostles are consistent in this. It's a work of God. A work of grace. Paul in Romans again, Romans 5:6, so too at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. If it was based on us and what we do, then it would not be grace. You know, just as the apostles were consistent in this, they were consistent in this because Jesus was consistent in this. few weeks ago in our evening Bible studies, we looked at the parable of the sower. The sowing of the seeds in Luke's Gospels, and we read that of the four seeds that were sown, one was completely destroyed. We also read that two other seeds sprouted, and one had very little roots, so it was destroyed quickly whenever things came along. One grew up among the weeds, and actually, it will have grown pretty well. But when the troubles of life came along, it was choked by those weeds. And there was only one seed that grew and did what God wants it to do, and that is produce fruit. The good soil was the only place where growth and fruit could occur. And the painful application that we had to draw from these words of Christ, the way was this, that there may well be some who seem to have come to faith in Christ. Some who've made a public declaration in their faith, who showed some shoots of growth, but who ultimately have been found wanting when the time has come. That's scary, isn't it? That's why Peter says we must work to confirm our calling and our election. The work that we do is not devoid of the Spirit, it's not works, it's understanding that grace of God that He has shown to us in calling us to come to faith in Him. Putting that work in so that we do grow, that we bear more fruit, that we become more effective followers of Christ. This is what God would have us do. We've all had the difficult experience of seeing people walk away from church. People walk away and go nowhere. People walk away from their faith and be floundering. And that is difficult. It's really tough. But I wonder, is that those seeds? Those signs of growth. But when the time came, there was no faith there at all. Our faith is one that must grow. One that, with the Holy Spirit in our lives, transforms us, changes us, helps us grow so that we become fruit-bearing disciples. And here's the great thing about that. I do believe that's exactly what God needs and wants for His world right now. Fruit-bearing, growing disciples of Christ. What God has done for each of us is unreal. What He has done for us is incredible. What He asks of us is that we put in some work. So I appeal to you today. Let's be in our Bibles. Let's get the Scriptures open. Let's get reading. Let's stop making excuses. Because there's loads of excuses. I can give you a pile of excuses if you want. But that's what they are. Let's be on our knees. And for those of us who can't get down on our knees, chairs fine. Let's be praying. Let's be a people who are concerned with confirming their calling and their election. We do not want to walk blindly through this life of faith, but instead want a deeper walk with our Lord and our Savior. Let's pray. God, go for a deeper walk with You. For a deeper relationship, God. A relationship with You, Lord, that doesn't get choked. That isn't just fit to be cut off the vine and thrown in the fire. But one, Lord God, that grows. And grows, Lord, and bears fruit. God, You brought us all here today for reasons. And You're speaking to each of us individually. I thank You for that. God, help us to be open. Help us, Lord God, to listen to you. And Lord God, may indeed we change. God bless us as we continue. Amen. We're going to receive now a morning offer. After that, we're going to stand and say, what can we do? Okay, this is what I will. 1094. So let's see who can help me. There's something in the offer there. And it's thank you for the hard work in our lives, God, and for the blessings that we share. And Lord, we pray now that as we have brought here this day, Father God, that you indeed use what we've brought. Help us, God, to be faithful. Help us, Lord God, to be wise. Guide us, God, in our gifts from you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Oh, amazing grace. All right. Number 31. 31. Listen to Dre is Cedar of Huntsville. Let's start together then. Have you got that? 31?
Yeah.
Yes. How many horses in the hill? Four. Happy day. 40.
Yeah.
immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said together,
Amen.